Let's turn to God's Word. Open your Bibles to John chapter 8. I'll be reading verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's kneel as we seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you humbly bowing, recognizing that you are the King of the universe. But more than that, you are our Savior. Lord, we love you. We know that you died for us. We don't fully understand the cost of that, but we are so grateful, Lord. We want to be your children. We want to follow in your footsteps, and we ask now that your Spirit will fill each one of us, that we can be your servants, that your love will fill us and overflow to those around us. We thank you that we can come and worship you today, and we pray that your word will be spoken, that we will hear it and we will heed it. We pray for those that are not here, that your Spirit will be with them, that your angels will protect them wherever they might be. Some of us are hurting. Some of us have had a bad week. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us healing, that you will give us peace, that you will give us comfort. We know that if we come to the foot of the cross, that all of our problems will be solved in Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Come soon, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lynette, very much. And thank you, youth team. It's music like we had today that I could just sit there and worship all day through music. It was good to listen and to sing and to listen and to meditate and think on the words. A young lady by the name of Ashley Gable is having a wedding this afternoon, not here, out in the park. And she is one of our first responders, works for Mercy Flights as a paramedic. I don't know if any of the members know her. Yeah, I think some of the members do. But I know we have visitors here that are coming to the wedding. Is that true? Raise your hand. Yeah, we have several. We just want to welcome you, and may this afternoon be a highlight on this wedding day. We're glad you're here to visit us. Matter of fact, they've been here since about 8 o'clock, 8:30. They ate breakfast here and cleaned all up, and most of you didn't even know it. Anyway, welcome. We're glad you're here, along with other visitors. I'll get it here in a minute. If I was a young person, I could talk and do this at the same time. There we go. Freedom and forgiveness is never free. Pretty good statement, isn't it? And I felt that because we're kind of celebrating the holiday, the 4th of July, that maybe I could focus a little bit in that particular area, Independence Day. I hope that all of you had a great holiday over the weekend. We took the day off. We enjoyed the day. We started out by going down to Central Point and watching the parade. And then after that, we came home and watched the parade on TV. And then that evening, we went to the fireworks. So we spent the holiday actually playing for a change. A scripture is read to us in John 8, 31-32. Read it again. It says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. If you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. July 4, 1776, or 400 years ago. I think it's about 430, something like that. Declaration of 13 United States of America wrote the Declaration of Independence. And I just want to read the first little part of it just to kind of help you look into that and think about it. The words are familiar. When the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among all the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitle them, as a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That was the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. And it has been, and I'll have to say continues to be, the model of freedom around the world. Now, don't get me wrong, this is not, I just want you to think about some of these things. This is not a political speech by any means. I'm not going to go there. But America is the longest surviving democratic republic because of the principles that were recorded in this document. There is a reason that over the past 200 years that millions and millions of immigrants have come to our shores. The American dream is fundamentally about the principles of freedom, but make no mistake, the American dream of freedom was birthed by those who were seeking religious freedom. People who had been persecuted and driven from their homes came to America to freely practice their religious faith. And you'll find references to God that they worshiped 4 times in the Declaration of Independence. And it is evident that these men trace their rights to this freedom, not to the human government or to an earthly monarch, but to the Creator and Supreme Judge of the universe. We would learn a lesson from their acknowledgement of such. So back to John chapter 8, verse 31, which gives us, I feel, the prescription for freedom. Prescription for freedom. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold my teachings, you're really my disciples. And then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So in this verse, 31 of chapter 8, Jesus offers real freedom to every man and woman. And this freedom may be realized by believing in Jesus. What are the elements of this belief? Believing in Jesus. Well, the first one is the assent of truth. What do I mean when I say that belief includes assent to truth? It basically means that we agree that God is the source of all truth. And we agree that God, with God about the scope of truth, it is truth about us. And the truth about us is for all have sinned, and that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The second element of belief is not just assent of the truth, but acceptance of the truth, to accept it. 1 John 1, verse 12 says, "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So believing is okay, but it's not enough. We must accept. Implicit in the idea of the assent or agreement is that when we truly, truly agree with the truth, we will apply that truth to our lives. "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show himself to me." So the prescription, we could say, to freedom, according to John chapter 8, verse 31, is first of all, to see the truth and to understand the truth and know what truth is. But the second element is to accept that truth. We must accept that truth. And then there's a third element. And the third element is abiding in the truth. You can accept it, but then we must abide in it. So future loyalty to his teachings will prove the reality of our present situation, our present profession. So the conclusion of this future condition is put in the present tense. As then, so now. We accept church members into our church and profession of faith and trusting in Jesus Christ, but we expect them to continue the word in the teaching that prove the sincerity and insincerity in the fact of their profession. It's the acid test of life. Acknowledge, accept, and then abide in that truth. John 15, verses 3 through 10 reads, "You already have been clean because the word I've spoken to you, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. We must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And as happens from time to time, my iPad all of a sudden says it needs an update. I love electronics sometimes. So I'm going to have my wife continue by hitting the forward button. There we go. It continues, says, "Well, this is updating. I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man remains me and I in him, I will bear much fruit. He will bear much fruit." Excuse me. I'm going to look at this other screen. It's just too small. "Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers." Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and he'll give unto you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in me, in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So the prescription for freedom is assent to the truth, acknowledge the truth, accept the truth, and then abide in that truth. So sometimes it pays for me to print my notes out. Because this is going to take time, I can see. I'm sorry, I apologize. Can you bear with me for just a second? I'm going to make some quick switches here. Charlie, I need your help. What do I need? I'm just going to use my computer. I have an iPad for sale for $3. That just came undone. Huh? Oh, that's okay, Charlie. I just mainly wanted to pick it up. Okay, we're back on. So the second point I want to go through is the person of freedom. Person of freedom. Let me back up just a second. So we looked at the prescription of freedom, the sin of truth, the acceptance of truth, and then the abiding of truth. Now we go to the second stage, and I want to look at the freedom, the person of freedom, the person himself. And John chapter 8, verse 32 basically says, then you will know the truth. And this is talking about Jesus. And John 8, 36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you what? You're free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. There was two couples, middle-aged couples. They were enjoying a friendly conversation. When one man says to the other, Fred, how was that memory clinic that you attended last month? Outstanding, Fred replied. It was great. They taught us all the latest psychological techniques, such as visualization, association, and so on. It was great. I haven't had a problem since. Sounds like something I could use, was the name of the clinic. What was the name of the clinic? And Fred looked kind of blank, and he thought, he says, but he just couldn't remember. And then a smile broke across his face, and he says, what do you call that flower that has a long stem and thorns? You mean the rose? Yes, that's it, rose. And he turns to the wife, he says, Rose, what was the name of that memory clinic again? In psychology, memory is the organism's ability to store, to retain, to recall information and experiences. But it's very interesting. In the Bible, the Greek word to remember is something like aletheia. And lenithia really means to not forget. That's the actual literal meaning, to not forget. And so in the King James Version and many other translations of the Bible also, the word aletheia is also translated truth. So when you come across the word truth, it means to not forget. To know the truth means to remember. Remember. The person of freedom, the truth proclaimed, John 38, 32, the first part. John 1, 14 says, the Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember that. Full of grace and truth. The truth is personified. John 14, 6 says, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Remember that. And Jesus answered, according to John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the truth. Don't forget it. Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. And third, truth proceed. Truth proceed. If anyone chooses to do God's will, anyone, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. So we find in the person of the truth, according to John 8, 32a and other scriptures, that the truth is proclaimed through the person of Jesus Christ. The truth is personified through the person of Jesus Christ. And the truth is perceived. And we're not to forget that. We're not to forget that. The third point is the purpose of freedom. The promise of freedom, excuse me. So we have the prescription of freedom, the person of freedom in Jesus Christ. And the third one is the promise of freedom. And John 8, 32b says, and the truth will set you free. That's the promise. That's the promise of the truth. That is the promise you're to remember. You're not to forget that through Jesus Christ, He will set you free. Set you free from the penalty of sin. Set you free from the power of sin. Don't forget. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey as slaves, you are slaves to the one to whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that through you, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You fully obeyed that teaching. You have been set free from sin, and you become slaves to righteousness. So the promise of freedom is to free us from the penalty of sin. The promise of freedom is to free us from the power of sin. And the promise for true freedom is to free us from the presence of sin. Proverbs 28, 13. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces his sins finds mercy. There is a promise for you. A great promise. Max Licato tells a story of a boy who was shooting rocks with his slingshot, and every time he'd aim at something and let the rock go, he'd miss it. He wasn't a very good shot. And one day, he's at his grandmother's house, and he saw her pet duck. And his natural impulse was just to, put a rock in a slingshot and fire at the duck. Well, unfortunately, the stone hit, and the duck was dead. The boy panicked, and he went and hid the bird in the woodpile, only to look up and see his sister was watching. Yeah. After lunch that day, Grandma told Sally to help her with the dishes. And Sally responded, "Oh, Johnny told me he wanted to help with the dishes today. Don't you, Johnny?" And she whispered to him, "Remember the duck." So Johnny did the dishes. What choice did he have? Yeah. The next several weeks, he was at that sink quite often. Sometimes doing dishes because it was his turn, other times doing dishes because of the duck. Finally, he got tired of it, and he says, Grandma's punishment would be much easier than doing the dishes all the time. So he goes to Grandma, and he shares with Grandma and confesses to killing the duck. "I know, Johnny," Grandma said, giving him a hug. "I was standing at the window and saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgive you. I just wondered how long it would take you to let Sally make you a slave doing the dishes." Johnny thought his confession would destroy him, when in reality, the one who loved him was only waiting for him to admit his sin so he could receive the freedom from his guilt. I'd like to have you take out your cards right now. After deacons have passed them out, the connect cards. We invite our members and visitors to fill out a connect card. And I just want you to think about some of the things I shared with you this morning. It's a place to put your name and address. And we're just real glad you're here for your visitor. And if you're a member, we're glad you're here too. We hope you'll fill out a connect card. It's a chance to give your pastor a chance to see what's going on, pray for you. You put down prayer requests, and we follow up them with prayer. And on the back of the card, it's your turn. The back of the card, it's your turn. And three simple questions that reflect the scriptures we shared with you this morning. Number one, I choose to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, the source of all truth. So if you accept to choose Jesus as your personal Savior, the source of all truth, then check that little box off. That's the first thing that we respond to. The second one is, I choose to be free from guilt and shame for my sins. The penalty, I choose to be free from the penalty, to be free from the power of my sins, as Jesus has set me free. That's the second point. The third point is, I choose to receive the truth, to love it, to keep it, to walk in it, to proclaim it, thus being a genuine disciple of Christ. So there's your chance. It's your turn. Because the scriptures tell us that true freedom comes through Jesus Christ. We have to acknowledge it, accept it, and practice it. A Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the freedom we get in Jesus. Through Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And Father, we want to be slaves, not to sin, but we want to be slaves to Jesus because of his great love. May we serve him and one another because of the love you give us. And may we remember that true independence, true liberty, and true freedom comes only through you and your Son, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May you leave the cards at the door with the deacons and the elders. Thank you. God bless. Have a great Sabbath day.